You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
The Season with Peter Schrager is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. What's up, everybody? Greetings from Detroit, Michigan. We are in a hotel room right now in downtown Detroit, about 5 minutes away from the NFL Draft Theater, and it is approximately 3 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, which is just over 24 hours away from the NFL Draft's first round. And I put this tweet out yesterday that I think there's going to be a lot of trades. I doubled down today with a tweet that I said I referenced it on Pat McAfee. I think we might get 10 trades in the first round. And that's because everybody I'm talking with is like, oh, this team's trading up. That team's trading back. This team's looking to trade up. This team's trading to trade back. I figured this podcast episode, if you're listening, you just want content. I'm not on television at the moment. So let's do it over podcast and just empty the notebook. It's going to be rather quick compared to the hour-long interviews we've had with coaches and coordinators in the past. But this is our latest thinking as of around 3 o'clock on Wednesday. And if you're listening to this at the gym on Wednesday night, and I know that's optimistic, assuming people go to the gym, I always say the gym, but I really mean as you're sitting at home playing video games with this on or driving in a car in traffic. Here's some things to note, and I'll go through it team by team, and then I think maybe big picture stuff. The first point I would make is that I do believe there's going to be close to a dozen trades made in the first round. That would be record-breaking. I think that this is one of those years where there are some quarterbacks that teams might want to trade up and down for, but it's not even about the quarterbacks. It's about the wide receivers, the tackles, and then the few defensive players. So I actually think it might go somewhat chalk 1, 2, 3, 4, and we'll get into my mock draft in a part two on this. But as I have it right now, I've got Caleb going 1 to the Bears. The Commanders, I'll open the door. It did get hairy for a while there over the weekend. I heard all sorts of stuff that he might not want to go there. And, you know, and then it's if you're Washington and if he even had the inclination of, I might not want to go there 3 days ago, like, do you say, well, screw you, like, this isn't free, we'll take Drake May, we'll be fine? Or do you just say, okay, once we get him in the building, it'll be all good? Because there is no doubt, and I'm telling you this is real, that Jaden Daniels and Antonio Pierce have a great relationship, and that whole, you know, connection to the Raiders is real. But the Raiders don't have the ammo or the ability to go up from 13-2. So earlier this week, Jaden Daniels' publicist, now I think this stuff matters, Denise White, came out, and she's been an NFL publicist for many stars. She's dealt in crisis communication. Like, I've heard her name and I don't know her personally, but I've seen her stuff for years. And she wrote on Twitter, Jaden Daniels is excited to be part of the NFL, and whatever he is, wherever he is drafted, he will be happy to be part of that organization. So I'm done. Like, that's it. But then if you're Washington, you're like, dude, like, we're about to put all of our faith in you. New coach, new owner, new GM, new offensive coordinator, new team president, new Bob Myers is involved. And then we just got, you know, these other guys involved. We have a whole new front office, Lance Newmark, Adam Peters, all these guys. Do we want to start things off with a quarterback who says, you know, I will be happy with whatever team I go to, as opposed to, I want to be a Commander. I see Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson and I want to be a Commander. I think by the time the draft comes, that'll all be all settled. And I got him going 2 to Commanders. 3 is the Patriots. I'm going to give you an analogy for the Patriots because there's been a lot of rumors about the Patriots looking to trade back. And I even said it on McAfee that they could trade back and then still get McCarthy if they trade back a little, if they fall in love with McCarthy. Here's how I see it, though. Here's an analogy I would make. And Aaron, my producer, you're on the mic, right? Your mic is working. Let's say testing. Let's get you in there.
Yep. I'm here. I'm ready for this.
Beautiful. This analogy. Just wanted to make sure. Here's it. All right. There's a house on the block that forever just has a for sale sign in front of it. And it's a beautiful house. And every time you drive by, you're like, wow, that house is for sale. And that house is for sale. And they do have open houses and people come and looking through. It just never gets sold. And the asking price might be too high, or the owners don't actually want to sell it. They just like to hear offers and be told what it, this exists in America. That's the Patriots right now. I don't think they're looking to sell the third pick. I think Drake May is fine, is going to be the future of this team. He's 21 years old. He's 6'4". He's a great kid. Comes from a sports family. Like, you're the Patriots. You're not looking to be in the top five anytime soon. You're not going to get an opportunity to get these quarterbacks, you know, as often as as often as they come. Take the quarterback. I don't care what the offer is for Minnesota. Take the quarterback, because say Minnesota offers you the 11, the 23, next year's first. So what? If you don't have a quarterback, so what? So what? So at 11, you might get JJ McCarthy fine. I think it's Drake May. And whether or not Jonathan Kraft is heavily involved or not, I think that the football people, and Jonathan Kraft probably included, are like, get the quarterback. Let's start filling the building. Because it was bleak at times last year in those home games for the Patriots. And with Jacoby Brissett making $8 to $10 million, that's a serviceable veteran guy. Bring in a rookie, Drake May, third overall to the Patriots. Cardinals. Chalk would have Marvin Harrison. I think Marvin Harrison makes a lot of sense. There's your Larry Fitzgerald for the next two decades. If you can get him in there, and it's fine. Where things get interesting and where my notes really begin, as we'll do a mock draft on part two on this thing, but the things get interesting at five to me, because there's multiple things happening here. One, the Chargers will not be taking a quarterback, and there's one quarterback left with the grade that's worthy of being in this spot, and there are probably three or four teams that might be interested. So then it becomes a bit of a feeding frenzy. Who's going to be able to go up and get him? Who wants him? And if the Chargers are at five, do they trade him to the highest bidder? Do they end up just taking their guy? Because you could end up missing out on a top tackle or a top wide receiver if you move too far down in the draft here. So the Chargers at five become real interesting. The other little wrinkle I've heard, and you'll start hearing this more, I'm sure, over the next few hours, is that as great as Joe Alt is, who is a high school legend out of Minnesota, a Notre Dame legend at Notre Dame, and was the consensus top left tackle in this draft, J.C. Latham, 340-pound mauler out of Alabama, might fit what Jim Harbaugh is trying to build, and they already have Rashawn Slater as a left tackle. So that might be the first wild card, J.C. Latham being taken to the Chargers before Joe Alt, and Joe Alt still being on the board. I've heard that from a few teams, that if you look at what Greg Roman's offenses have been, if you look at what Harbaugh has done, and if you think about the Alabama connection that Ozzie Newsome had, and now Joe Hortiz, who spent 28 years with the Baltimore Ravens, now comes over in the Chargers. There's an Alabama connection there. Could J.C. Latham go before Joe Alt? That's something to watch. Okay, more stuff there. Chargers, would they ever trade with the Raiders or the Broncos? Probably not. I don't think they're going to trade with those teams and let them get a quarterback so that they can play them twice a year and have to deal with knowing that they gave their division rivals the opportunity to have J.J. McCarthy, which really limits the quarterback teams for McCarthy to the five spot, to the Vikings. And does that give leverage to the Vikings? Think about the chess game here now. If they're not going to trade with the Raiders or the Broncos, and there have been trades within the division in the NFL draft before, like Jameson Williams was traded from the Vikings to the Lions in a draft. And I believe the Cowboys and Eagles did one in the deal that got Devontae Smith, like that, and Micah Parsons. I think that was on draft day, and somehow those two teams did come to terms to a trade. But I don't know, when you're talking about a quarterback, like, would the Chargers on a silver platter give the Broncos and Raiders a chance to get J.J. McCarthy? I don't see it. Just competitively, I don't see Jim Harbaugh doing Sean Payton and the Broncos any favors in handing J.J. McCarthy over. So in that case, it really becomes just the Vikings. Now, if you're the Vikings, you have the 11, the 23, you don't have a second, you have a third, and then next year, I don't think you have a whole bounty of picks that you can offer. So if you're the Vikings, Is it 11-23 up to 5 for J.J. McCarthy? Well, it sounds like that's the bare minimum of what the Chargers would want. But if you're Minnesota and you already know that they're probably not going to trade with the Broncos and the Raiders, it's a game of chicken. It's like, who am I betting against here? Who am I dealing against? And can I keep that 23 and just trade the 11 and something else and move up 6 spots?
Ooh. I haven't heard anyone talking about them keeping 23. That's an interesting idea.
They keep 11. They trade 11. They trade a future bunch of picks and they keep 23 so that they have the 5 and the 23. They get an offensive, they get their quarterback, and then they also, that's all, this is why the 5 spot's so interesting, which leads to 6. I put in my first mock draft that J.J. McCarthy was going to go to the Giants. They're going to trade up to get him. I've cooled down a little bit on that, but I can tell you they met with him again. Like, they've had more meetings with J.J. McCarthy, and he's still very much a part of it. At the end of the day, and I made this point to Art Stapleton, who does the Giants All In podcast, they spent their entire Easter weekend in Ann Arbor. And when I say they, I'm in the brass. So if they're going to devote all that time and they're going to do it on the night before Easter and then Easter Sunday and be away from their families and they're all out there, like, that's not for a smokescreen so that we're doing mock drafts and we have them take it. That's not, it's because they're actually interested. And J.J. McCarthy did media today, and they asked him what team he's met the most with, and his answer was the New York Giants. So I think that's interesting. Giants, also interesting. Alt might be on the board. Neighbors might be on the board. But I've got a little wild card to watch for the Giants, and that's Rome Odunze out of Washington. I'll say this. Odunze, everyone who's met him is like, he's got the best presence of any of these guys. Walks in, he's character, he's all-world human. And if you're the Giants and you've been through Kadarius Toney as a first-round pick and you've been through some other questionable ones over the years, and yet, and things ended with Odell the way they did, and Odell's actually a fine human being. It's something about Odell's, you know, character just didn't work. And you hear that Odunze is all world and is the most, you know, selfless, servant, you know, polite. Oh, does that not sort of give you Odunze vibes over Neighbors, who doesn't have that write-up? Now, I'm not going to trash Neighbors because he might be the best wide receiver in this draft. And for 29 of 32 teams, he might be the first guy on the board. Everyone's got Neighbors going to the Giants. I would just say, keep an eye on the offensive tackle, Joe Alt. Remember, Joe Shane. Big Notre Dame fan growing up. There's Notre Dame tie there. But also, keep an eye on Rome Odunze for the Giants. He screams Mr. Giant to me from everything I hear, and I think that one's interesting.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Tennessee, we've heard everything on Tennessee from, oh, they might like Alt as their number one guy. They might like Latham as their number one guy. And then I've heard a lot of Neighbors stuff. Now, look, they did bring in Calvin Ridley, but if you give a wide receiver room of DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, and Malik Neighbors, watch out. 7, Tennessee, they can't go wrong, or they can trade back, and that might be the spot where a team like Minnesota or Denver or Vegas trades up. Remember, I don't think the Chargers trade with Denver, and I don't think the Chargers trade with the Raiders. I just don't see it happening. So if the Giants aren't a team that's going to trade back there, the next team up is Tennessee. It's a little easier to trade within the conference than it would be the division. So that might be a trade partner to watch. 8, Atlanta. Everything I hear is pass rusher. Dallas Turner out of Alabama, or Latu if his medical checks out. And then late in the game, I've heard a little Byron Murphy smoke. I would be surprised if it's not a defensive player at 8. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, that's where I get all kind of wonky trade stuff going. And I think we're going to go through this in part two of this podcast, if you're going to click on part two, which is my actual mock draft. But I'm going to give you a bunch of names and where they all are kind of jarbled up here. This is where you've got Adunze could go, Neighbors could go, Bowers could go, Latham could go, Taliesi Fuanga could go, McCarthy could go, Penix could go. You've got this glob of offensive tackle, wide receiver, and quarterbacks, and I think any of the teams could be coming up and down. And I'd keep an eye on guys like, is this where Indianapolis jumps up because other teams, you know, loaded up during free agency and they didn't? Is this where a Jacksonville trades up because they lost out on Calvin Ridley? Like, does Jacksonville move up and say, we're going to get Brock Bowers or Malik Neighbors? The Broncos, they have to move up a couple spots if McCarthy starts slipping and they want McCarthy. Do the Broncos take Bo Nix? If that's the case, do they trade back a little bit? Tennessee, what are they going to do? And is the 11 team Minnesota, are they going to be moving up, down, packaging, not packaging? I think that's where it gets really interesting. So tomorrow night, that'll be about 9 picks in. I would say around the Bears at 9 is where it really gets spicy. And then I just think it's an avalanche of trades of teams going up and down, trying to find what they can get. Some notes on guys. All right. I don't have a Bo Nix team at the moment. Broncos would be that team. I just don't know if they would take them at 12. Other than that, I don't know any other Bo Nix teams. I just think quarterback need and what is in this draft. So Bo Nix could be the 12th overall pick to the Denver Broncos. Bo Nix could also be the Will Levis where he doesn't get selected in the first round. And we're just like, how the hell did Bo Nix not get drafted? I don't know where to do with Bo Nix. Raiders and Seahawks are the two Michael Penix teams I keep hearing about. Raiders apparently had really good workouts with him. 13th overall pick seems like the right spot. He's the leader, da 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 da. Seattle at 16. Seattle, their offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb, was Penix's offensive coordinator at the University of Washington. That was Mike McDonald, the new hire. That was his hire as the OC. If anybody knows Penix, it's him. If he falls all the way to 16, that's a cool fit. Like, local guy, stays in Seattle, gets to go play for the Seahawks. And, you know, Geno's got one more year left, I think, on the contract. But they did trade picks or a pick to get Sam Howell, which makes it seem odd that they would take a quarterback after trading draft capital to get Sam Howell. So Penix, Raiders and Seahawks, Bo Nix, I've got Broncos. I'll say this now on this podcast, it might make news, might not. I don't think Rams are a Bo Nix team as much as everyone is tying them together, unless Snead played with Bo Nix's father, Patrick Nix, and they were at Auburn together, and that's a cool connection. And McVay obviously has been searching for a Stafford successor, and whether it be Stetson Bennett last year or Jimmy Garoppolo this year or whatever else they've got, I just don't think they're a first-round quarterback team, and I certainly don't think they're going to move up to get Bo Nix. All right, Aaron, some more things. We haven't even talked about the defensive back position. I keep hearing the Eagles want a defensive back, so I would circle them as a potential trade-up team. And the four DBs to look for, and I think the order could vary from team to team, but I think you got the two Alabama kids, Terrion Arnold and Kool-Aid McKinstry. How I've been described, Terrion Arnold was a redshirt sophomore, came in as like a nickel guy and then evolved into one of their top corners and is like all world, amazing, like, you know, Boy Scout, the whole thing. Great. Then you got Kool-Aid McKinstry, who is dealing with injury stuff, but he is your flashier guy who maybe barks a little bit, more of that dog, you know, CB1 mentality. If you could have Dion as your Kool-Aid McKinstry, then you could say Daryl Green is your Terrion Arnold as far as demeanor and all that goes. Or maybe Nnamdi Asamoah, if you will, just like a gentleman is what I'm describing as Arnold. So I'm going to say those two guys and personalities are different and abilities are different. And then you've got the kid from Toledo, Quinion Mitchell, who will go top 20, I think. He's a superb athlete. He came out in an interview and said that he wanted to be the greatest Mac football player of all time. That's Jack Lambert. That's Antonio Gates. That's Ben Roethlisberger. That's Antonio Brown. But no, Quinion Mitchell is saying that's me. And then the last defensive back would be the wild card in this thing. I don't know what to do with Cooper DeJean. Aaron, have you seen Cooper DeJean basketball footage highlights yet?
No, I haven't watched his basketball footage. Yeah. Oh, man.
Went to a school of, I think, 1,000 people in the town total. And the school is one of those where they had to combine like 8 different high schools to make a team. And he was obviously all-world football, all-world basketball. Do you have the high school on there? Let's give it some love here. Cooper DeJean's high school is called... You'll like this one. And then we're going to go... Yeah. So his high school was called OABCIG, which was like one of those combinations. Give me his hometown, where he's from, the town of 1,000, because I think we're going to put it on the map in this podcast, Cooper DeJean.
Sioux Falls?
No, it's not Sioux Falls. He might have been born there. Where did he grow up?
Odebolt.
There we go. Tell me about Odebolt. Read me a little wiki on Odebolt.
Oh, gosh. I don't know if there's anything about Odebolt.
I want the Odebolt town. Okay, we're going to Odebolt, Iowa, the website.
Population as of the 2020 census was 994
people. 994
people
in the entire town. And Cooper DeJean comes from that town in Iowa. It's just farmland, folks. It's incredible.
The opening picture on their town website is literally farmland. And the second is a tractor parade.
A tractor parade. As
someone who grew up in a very small town that also had tractor parades, I know how important it is to have a tractor parade when you're a small town. And it is a sign of being a small town.
I'm telling you what, we're on the website right now. There is nothing to love about Odebolt, Iowa. This looks lovely.
This looks very much like Friday Night Lights would be set here. I mean, you've got like the water tower with the town name on it. You got these picturesque little benches.
Right, so once in 100 years, you'll get a star athlete in one of these towns.
Yeah.
That's Cooper DeJean.
Notable residents?
Yeah. Jason, give me some notable residents. Who we got?
One of one. Iowa Hawkeyes star cornerback, Cooper DeJean.
Cooper DeJean. That's it. That's it. And I think he's a first round pick. I don't know where to put him. I think somewhere 20 to 32, but like those are your four corners. So think of those guys and Cooper maybe being a second round guy. Like if that's the case and you need a defensive back, teams are going to be trading. So I've got like a lot of teams wanting to move up to get those three guys. And I think Kool-Aid's very interesting because he didn't blow anybody at the combine or pro day or any of that stuff. And if you watch the film, he's there.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
All right. Some other interesting names. I think after the big three, the wide receivers get really interesting. So I think Rome, Neighbors, and Harrison go in the top 12. Let's be generous. Let's say top 12. Then you've got Brian Thomas out of LSU. You got Xavier Worthy, the burner out of Texas, who was the combine workout where you got A.D. Mitchell out of Texas. You've got Ladd McConkey. You got Xavier Leggett. And you look at Keon Coleman out of Florida State, kind of a bigger body. I think those are your wide receiver names that would go in the first round. You might have another guy. You might have Ricky Pearsall. You might, whatever.
Troy Franklin.
I think those guys are probably second round. But what's interesting is this. In that 20 to 32, you've got Steelers who might need a wide receiver. You've got Lions who might need a wide receiver. You've got the Cowboys who might need a wide receiver. You've got a Arizona Cardinals team that's probably taking a wideout at 4, but like if they can get 2 wideouts, they'll be their top 1 and 2 wideouts. Buffalo definitely needs a wide receiver. Baltimore could be in wide receiver zone because of Odell's departure. 49ers could be wide receiver. Rams could be wide receiver. And then I'll tell you what's really interesting. 33 are the Carolina Panthers. They're likely going to take a receiver. They have no receiving, help, whatever. If you jump 33 and you get to 32, you get that wide receiver for 5 years, not four. So you get him under contract for 5 years, which is a really interesting prospect. And so you look at teams who might have wide receiver needs and say, okay, take someone else, you know, say the Patriots, for example, they need a quarterback, but they're desperate at wide receiver. Do they take a quarterback at three and then trade back up to 32? Very possible. If you're the Jets and you don't want to, now the Jets wouldn't be the right team. If you're the Giants and you want to go quarterback and say, we're taking McCarthy or Alt, but okay, we're going to jump back in. We get 5 years of Xavier Leggett or 5 years of AD Mitchell. That could be all right too. So I would circle that Kansas City Chiefs 32nd pick, and I would say that might be the spot where a team moves up to get a wide receiver. A couple other little pieces of gossip that I've been hearing. I think that Philly might be moving around. I think that Jacksonville might be moving around. I think Indy might be moving around. And here's one that just as we're getting onto the mics, I think Detroit might be looking to move around. Now, they made two big signings or extensions today. Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell. Now, I love it. We're in Detroit. They like hold it till the day before the draft. A little news, a little buzz, a little momentum. They could have done that deal in the last several weeks, but they waited till draft week while we're all here. But I find that interesting to hear that Detroit's been making calls just to hear, just to poke around. What do they need? Well, Detroit could use a defensive end. Detroit could use a defensive back. Obviously, they've had some issues, you know, with the back end there, and there's been some departures this season, and one of those players is having some legal stuff. So maybe it's for one of the top corners. Interesting to watch. Running backs, I don't see a single running back in the first round. I guess Bijan went first round last year and Gibbs went first round. Yep. I don't even know if there's a running back in the first 50 picks, to be honest. I would say Marshawn Lloyd or Jonathan Brooks are the top two running backs, but like that's not even a position I'm considering right now. Safety, not a position I'm considering right now. Linebacker, there's some love for Colson out of Michigan. Not a first rounder, I don't think. My whole deal is like I want to get as many first round picks, right? So that's not direct hits necessarily, but I'd like to give you the idea of like, all right, if I get 22 or 25 or 28 of the 32 first round picks, that's pretty good. I don't see any running backs. I don't see any pure safeties. I don't see any linebackers, middle linebackers. I would have been wrong because I didn't have Jack Campbell last year. And then I'm not sure, other than Brock Bowers, if we're going to even smell a tight end up top. Brock Bowers is interesting. Another name I've heard tied to a million teams. And yet when you're doing a mock draft, if you don't have him to the Jets, like it's hard to place him. The two players that I've been told who have been the cleanest prospects, by cleanest meaning character, health, everything, Adunze and Brock Bowers. Both those guys are really interesting. Team that I would watch to see what they do if there's a quarterback slipping is the Denver Broncos. Do they trade back into the first round if they pass on a McCarthy or a Nix, and one of them is still sitting there, whether it be Penix or Nix? They don't have a ton of ammunition, but I think Sean Payton, looking at his quarterback room, could go to war with Zach Wilson and convince himself that Zach Wilson and Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci could compete. But I think you feel a lot better if you ended up getting Bo Nix or a Spencer Rattler in the second round, even. A name that's been buzzing a bit, Byron Murphy out of Texas. I originally had him going 18 to Cincinnati in my first mock draft. I think he goes higher than that. That was some of the feedback I got. And then I would just go through the tackles. And one of those guys is going to be the first one taken. It's either going to be Alt, Fuaga, or this J.C. Latham, who, as we're recording this, I'm telling you, has got more heat than maybe any other player in this draft. I just keep on hearing his name come up. Olu Fashanu out of Penn State has a lot of fans. I think he's a guy who could play left tackle, which is helpful. Would consider him a top 20 pick for sure. Troy Fatanu out of Washington. Not sure his health is everything that everyone wants. I've heard some questions on that. I'm trying to spell his name right here. Fatanu. The autocorrect on my Word document keeps on changing these guys' names. I'm like, no, those are the real names. Relax. Amarius Mims is a name to watch. Giant, massive offensive tackle out of Georgia.
doesn't necessarily have the tape or what do you want to say, but like that's the upside guy. And then the last one I would, the two last ones I would circle is, we got an NFL head coach calling right now, but we can't pick that up on the podcast. We'll call him back in a second. The other two would be Guyton and Jordan Morgan, who plays at Arizona. Those are your first round prospects. You know, you can go through the list. Graham Barton, the inside guy out of Duke. Darius Robinson out of Missouri. Chop Robinson's a name. The guy who's falling, and I hate it for him because I think he's a great kid and I've seen him do the media tour. I think Latu is going to fall. I had him going top 12 in my first mock draft. I think he ends up going in the 20s. The medicals just are not as clean as everyone feeling comfortable seems like it. All you need is one team. Like he can go eighth to Atlanta and I wouldn't be shocked, but you know what happened. He was medically retired with a neck injury. All season or draft season along, I've been told by everyone, it's fine. Well, the day before the draft, I don't know if you're taking a guy who was medical. I mean, it just sucks to hear that, but I don't think he's fallen out of the first round, but I don't think he's going top eight or top 12. Before we get to my mock draft on part two, is there anything there's a guy, Newton, out of Illinois. I didn't have him, defensive tackle. I didn't have him in my first round, and I heard it from every fan, but did not hear it from NFL teams. So that tells me that like I might be less far off on that. Maybe Newton goes, maybe he doesn't, but to not have Newton from Illinois in the first round, it's not like I missed on like a top 10 pick or anything. Penix, like I said, two teams. Knicks, I only could think of the Broncos, and I think if the Vikings miss quarterback in the top 10 and McCarthy gets taken, like I think they could take at 11 Penix and be okay. I would say this as we wrap this little notes emptying session. From what I hear and from what it sounds like, Minnesota is closer. All right, how do I put this? Minnesota might look at JJ McCarthy closer to Penix than they do Drake May, meaning Drake May might be their first, their love affair. And it's not like McCarthy's right after him. I think there's a drop-off, and then it's McCarthy, and there's less of a drop-off, and then Penix. That's how I would order it for them. So that's where I'm at 3:30. I hope that was exciting for everyone listening. As you're on the treadmill, I would encourage you then to now click on part two, which is going to be coming out as well, which is where I'm coming out on my mock draft as of 4 o'clock Eastern on Wednesday. And of course, whatever's printed on NFL.com on Thursday morning and I present on Good Morning Football might be different because it might have changed based on intel I've gotten over the last few hours. But this is my emptying of the notebook. Like I said, I think it could be 6 quarterbacks taken. I wouldn't be shocked if it's just 5. I think there's going to be 10 or so trades made in this draft. And I think there are going to be some wild moves going on from about 9 to 14. That includes the Jets, that includes the Broncos, that includes the Vikings, that includes the Bears. Like, I don't think it's just going to be chalk. So take with that what you will. Everybody, finish up your session on the treadmill or your drive or wherever else.
Your match of Call of Duty or whatever you're playing.
I'm a Minecraft guy.
Oh.
Never played Minecraft. You?
I have not either.
Are you into the shoot 'em up games?
No, I am notoriously horrible at any first person kind of thing.
What about Twitch? You ever watch anyone play video games?
Over pandemic, I watched some people play Among Us. Some people play. I actually watched people play Madden one time.
Did you? One time.
One time. I'm not like.
So let me ask you about Among Us. Did they take Among Us and then make the HBO show based on Among Us? Yes.
Are you thinking about Last of Us?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's Among Us is like a cute kids game where like you're on a spaceship and
the Last of Us is a different game.
Yeah. Last of Us is like the gritty zombie post-apocalyptic thing.
Got it. One last thing before we wrap it up. How do I put this?
Good start. I'm interested to see where this goes.
As an NBA fan, you're going to put Knicks, Sixers, and Nuggets, Lakers on Thursday night up against the NFL draft? Like, can you wait a night? Can the NBA have some foresight on this and say, you know what? The NFL draft is a big deal. ESPN is a partner. The NFL network is going to be airing. Like, I'm devastated I can't watch my Knicks play the Sixers game three, and I just see the schedule and it's a loaded NBA night. And it's like, guys, I'm not asking you to put up a white flag here, but maybe just play that game Friday night on night two, as opposed to going up against the Jets and the Giants with top 10 picks.
Especially when you have huge storylines around each one. The Knicks game, like, I mean, the Knicks beating Embiid would be amazing.
It would be whatever. It's an amazing series. That you can't. That's how do you ask a Knicks fan? Because a Knicks fan is obviously going to watch the Knicks and want you, but they're also a Jets and Giants fan. Then you've got Denver and the Lakers,
and especially LeBron. After LeBron's tantrum last game with the calls. Like, yeah, that's a wild night to be.
Maybe we wait on the schedule. Maybe we just say, like, hey, out of respect, we the broadcast partner airs the NFL draft, and we're just gonna kick it. You know, baseball for years didn't play on like Memorial Day. I don't know. That's my take, guys. All right, click on part two. It's going to be my mock draft, which will probably be changed by tomorrow morning. The Season with Peter Schrager is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.